Support for the Morning News comes from the Homer Foundation. Spring is a busy season for community grantmaking on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Scholarship committees meet, city grants are awarded, and the Homer Foundation's Youth Advisory Committee reviews proposals and recommends funding for youth-focused programs. Information about community grants, scholarships, and the Homer Foundation is available at homerfoundation.org. The Homer Foundation. Give. Grow. Grant.
Today is Monday, May 25th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. Earlier this month, community members saw a lone harbor seal pup on South Kenai Beach and reported it to the Alaska Sea Life Center in Seward. A team from the center responded and initially determined that the pup was malnourished and dehydrated and was likely orphaned. They transported the pup to the Seward-based Marine Mammal Rescue and Rehabilitation Facility to stabilize its condition. Staff say the harbor seal pup is likely less than 1 week old. This is the first harbor seal pup the center has rescued this season. In a press release, Alaska Sea Life Center Wildlife Response Curator Jane Belaverick says harbor seal pups are vulnerable and rely entirely on their mothers for survival. She says avoiding interactions between pets or humans and young harbor seals during pupping season provides the best chance for survival because mothers may abandon their pups if approached. Report stranded marine animals in Alaska to 1-888-774-7325. Homer's annual Kachemak Bay Writers Conference took place earlier this month, and KPBI's Emily Springer spoke with event director Aaron Hollowell for a review of the conference and some changes people will see next year.
Homer's Kachemak Bay Writers Conference was established in 2002. Aaron Hollowell has been working for the conference since 2012 and has been the director since 2019. The 2026 event took place on the Kachemak Bay campus from May 16th to the 19th. In Hollowell's closing remarks at this year's event, she turned the helm over to another local writer, Mercedes O'Leary Harness. But before reporting on that new change for the event, Hollowell provided a review of the 2026 conference.
It went great. We had a fabulous community of writers come in from outside to teach, and we had a fabulous community of writers, predominantly Alaskans. I just felt like there was a really kind of a atmosphere of sharing, and that was great. This year filled quicker than any other year. Like in 2 weeks, we were sold out, which has never happened before. And so we had a huge wait list and a lot of people applying for scholarships. So that was success, I guess. I mean, it would have been more successful if we could bump out the campus to accommodate everyone.
This was also the first year that the event has maxed out community attendance space on evening reading nights that took place on the KPC campus from guest faculty writers. Hollowell provided these closing remarks to conference attendees on the final day of the event as her final day as director.
I've been thinking quite a bit over the last few weeks about what I want to say to all of you as I step off this stage. I'd like to say something profound, but I'm afraid that would have taken a lot more time than I had, and that is the crux of it. I need time for my own writing, so I'm stepping away to do just that. Write, work at Story Knife, walk on the beach, forage for nettles, and talk with snowshoe hares. What I wish for you all. May writing find a congenial place in your heart. May you have the time to write and the time to dream about your writing and the time to let it rest and the time to revise it. May your bookshelves always have something new and exciting for you to read and learn from. May you always have yet another author, poet, crush, a person whose work sets you on fire and whose way in the literary world honors a path you'd like to take. May others see you as a writer and treat you like one, whatever that means to you. But more importantly, may you see yourself as a writer and give yourself permission to fully inhabit that role.
In her final words to the community, Hollowell also shared the importance of this conference to the identity of the Ketchikan Bay campus.
I think that what is most important to me is that the community understands that this is a keystone project of the Ketchikan Bay campus, that it is an integral part of the campus, and that it hopefully always will be. It's really a sparkling gem. There aren't any other big writers' conferences in this state. So it's the way we get together as writers. And the fact that it's here in Homer is astounding.
There will be a 2027 conference held on the Ketchikan Bay campus, and details for next year's event are not yet available. Reporting from Homer, this is Emily Springer.
Alaska's Copper Ammo Challenge is a program that encourages Alaskan hunters to use copper rather than lead bullets as a health benefit to scavenging animals. KBBI's Emily Springer spoke with Representative Ron Clark about details of the challenge and what it offers to hunters.
The Alaska chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers was in Homer this week to provide educational displays and general information about Alaska's Copper Ammo Challenge rebate program. They held their first event at the Grace Ridge Brewery on Tuesday evening. Ron Clark, founding member of the Alaska Falconers Association, was there to provide details on the Copper Ammo Challenge and why it's a benefit rather than the use of lead bullets.
So when somebody shoots a rifle at a moose or a bear or a caribou or whatever, if you're shooting a copper-jacketed lead bullet, the lead fragments and lots of little pieces of lead end up scattered through the animal, whether it ends up in the meat or in the gut pile. A lot of those lead fragments end up in the animal. So if you leave a gut pile with a bunch of little lead fragments in the field, scavengers like eagles and ravens and big hawks and gray jays and heck, chickadees, you know, it's a big pile of protein and fat sitting there. Everybody's going to come eat it. And if it's full of little lead fragments that get accidentally ingested, that lead is hugely toxic to birds. And it doesn't take much more than a piece like half the size of a grain of rice is enough to kill a full-grown golden eagle. So we're encouraging people to use 100% copper bullets.
The Alaska Copper Ammo Challenge was started 2 years ago and includes four simple steps. Scan the QR code, purchase copper rifle ammunition or bullets at any store or website, submit receipt information and information online, and receive a $40 Visa gift card per box of ammunition or $25 per box of reloading bullets. Those interested in participating must have an Alaskan hunting license and mailing address.
We're hoping that if people get the chance to use it, they'll like it and use it more. And we're finding that, you know, our return customers, as it were, at these various sports shows and things we've been to, people like the way it performs, and they like the fact that it's not poisoning golden eagles and other scavengers. We're not trying to change regulations or change laws or, you know, ban anything. It's all voluntary, and we're finding that people who have tried it like it and are continuing to use it, which is exactly what we want.
For more information or questions on how to participate in the challenge, visit the website at akcopperchallenge.com. Reporting from Homer, this is Emily Springer.
And that's it for this morning's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward, through translator K201AO, and online at kbbi.org. News tips and story ideas can be emailed to news@kbbi.org. Thanks for listening, and good morning.